Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the original Loretta Brown Show, radio to open the heart, heal the soul, awaken the consciousness. Good morning, Mr. Benny Mathers. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing very well. Just want to, before I forget, wish you an early happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Now, are you excited?
I am excited. I also was listening to your weather report.
Oh.
And it is going to be beautiful.
Yeah. Well, every day should be beautiful for mom.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
but yeah, no, I love being a mom.
I do too.
Best, thank you.
I do too.
You are such a great mom. I love that. That's the perfect answer.
I think it's just for all parents. They just kind of fall in any category or either category, where they want to say.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you got to be the mom, sometimes the dad. I don't really know.
That's my point, exactly. Yeah, and thank you, Loretta, for acknowledging that. That's important. To all the parents out there, moms and dads, filling in.
Absolutely. Yeah, because without them, where would we be?
Right?
Right. Yeah. I posted a little meme this morning on my Facebook page, you know, in honor of Mother's Day, and it says, back in our day, we didn't need seatbelts. We had the mom arm, and it's got the mom with her arm across the kid.
That's great, because that brings up a really good story. I think the last time my mom did that, we were still in Alaska at the time, and it was just like the first, I think, year or two that I started riding in the front seat. I would just have to, you know, fight over it with my sister. My little sister, and then it was the day where I was like, yeah, I get the front seat, right? And we're driving along, and of course, yeah, she hit her brakes. And her arm comes out, and yeah, did the whole, like, right? And I looked down, I moved her back, because I was then finally bigger than she was. And she realized, yeah, I guess I don't think I need to be doing that anymore. And I was wearing my belt at the same time, but it was like she was still having that reaction. I'm just kind of looked down, I looked over, I'm like, I think you moved more than I did.
I'm laughing so hard because, you know, my son, my kids are grown up. I hate to tell people how old they are because then you realize I'm you know, older than 29. But I actually did that to my son 2 weeks ago. He's fully grown. And it was an automatic. It was like the arm was over there. I looked over at him and he was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's just like it's a reaction. You don't think about it. It's just what moms and parents do. Yep.
You're going to be safe, and that's all there is to it.
Right.
I love you. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, big shout out to all the moms. We love you. To my mom in heaven, I love you. Yep. And to my daughter and my son, I love you. Yeah. And let's enjoy it. A little bit of sunshine here in the Seattle area.
Let's do it. Get your brunch on. It's going to be a good day
for that. That's right. Get your brunch on. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Let's do some stuff. So anyway, I am Loretta Brown. I'm the owner of Reiki Oasis, located right here in the greater Seattle area for almost 30 years. I'll just say it that way. And I do have lots of stuff going on over there. You can find out more about me at ReikiOasis.com. And my temple class for the women, will be the last Saturday of May. And you can join us in person or via Zoom. So a little astrology. And then I have a fantastic guest today. You're going to love this show. So this week, big news in astrology weather, the big new moon in the sign of Taurus. Just happened. We're still under the energies of it, bringing with it a very intense period of new discoveries and new awakenings. Truths are being spoken, and what was hidden will now be uncovered. The new moon is about seeing what is really there and not what we want to see. Ooh, yikes. The days following a new moon are a time to commit to personal goals related to Taurus, such as, how about this one? I like it. Deciding to enjoy life's simple and physical pleasures. Woohoo! Savor good food. Yeah, I like that one. Enjoy activities that bring you in touch with nature and with your bodies. It's time to stop and smell the roses. I don't know what's been going on in everybody's life, but ooh, it's been a little jumbly. April was, crazy. May is asking us to stop and smell the roses, catch your breath, become more aware of what makes you comfortable and secure. Self-care is right at the top of that list. And, you know, I have so many clients that are so loving, so giving. They're always doing for others. And I even had someone yesterday go, Loretta, I don't even know how to do for me. Like, how do I take care of me? And I said, well, sometimes you just say, no, no, thank you. Or, no, I can't go do that. I have to go, you know, smell the roses or walk in the forest or something. So with this potent Taurus energy, we have the chance to make important changes in our lives. It's the ground, it's earth. Make some solid yet realistic plans and set the stage for reaping the rewards from our new beginnings. Now, this was also an emotional new moon. A lot of people have been telling me they've been feeling a little melancholy, a little sad, crying, wanting to just lay in bed. I have this great astrologer friend, and he posted a meme, and it was like, half of me wants to stay in bed, and the other half of me wants to stay in bed. It was like that, right? So you may have even found yourself becoming empathic and feeling others' emotions. Maybe you're a little overwhelmed. And like I said, it's just a good time to take care of yourself. Remember, nature is our great healer, water, sleep, all the basic stuff. The Taurus new moon is also about strengthening our sense of security, reevaluating our relationship with money and possessions, and figure out what it is that truly makes you happy. What do you really need? And what is just that clutter or that stuff that you've collected? And I don't know, we can always lighten the load a little bit, give it off to somebody else that needs it, and freshen up. So, like I said, it's a great time to get back to nature with the good weather. She is inviting you to come outside. And it's also a time, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but in a couple of days, roll your sleeves up, try to get some things done. Because on Monday, Mercury leaves shadow phase and finally goes fully direct. Mercury left retrograde on April 25th, but it's just sort of been hanging in the sky. So with this nice, strong, direct movement of Mercury, you can feel confident about signing contracts, making long-term plans, creating commitments. And then just a little heads up, because Jupiter is moving into Gemini toward the end of the month. This will be in Gemini for the whole next year. This is going to be new thoughts, new ideas, more information coming to the forefront, clearing the pathways of, you know, what is true, what is not true. And that is such a planetary theme right now. It's personal and planetary. So blessings to all of you. I really want everyone to enjoy the energies. And I mean it, do something fun, smell the roses, laugh, get together with people that you love, because, you know, in the end, that's what it's all about. Speaking of the end, my guest today is not the end. He's only the beginning, I guess, of a lot of stuff. His name is John Thomas, and he is a co-creator, a co-author of a book called Channeled Messages of Hope, Conversations with History's Most Prominent Souls on the Other Side on Global Warming and Climate Change. John Thomas is a classic Silicon Valley tech guy. He's a techie. What the heck is he doing with this channeled book? We'll find out in a minute. After receiving his chemical engineering degree, John worked for many years in various technical fields, including software, semiconductors, and advanced battery technologies. And along the way, he was able to see the environmental impact of these technologies and developed a deep appreciation for those companies that were serious about creating sustainable practices and protecting the environment. And John is currently the CEO of a startup developing highly sustainable technologies in the food and agricultural industry. So, John, welcome to the show. First and foremost, hello, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Loretta. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and please, you're a techie guy. You have this great book called Channeled Messages of Hope. So how'd you get into this?
So first of all, I can say, you know, the principal author is Carolyn, my wife, Carolyn Thomas. It was her inspiration. She did the research. She came up with the topic, although there's a story there. And I entered, so we co-authored, because with my background and given the types of souls that we talked to on this topic, many of them were very technical. And while there's a very big spiritual side to this, we talked to policymakers. We also talked to technologists, and she asked for my help to come in, and I ended up participating in virtually all the interviews and, you know, helped her in the writing of the book. But it is her. She is the principal author.
That's wonderful to know. So please tell us, how did this book come about? What happened?
So there's three of us on the book. Sam Larkin is the channeler. And Sam Larkin does what is called voice channeling, which is different than intuitive channeling that I've come to learn all this. I'm not an expert on any of this stuff. I'm not a psychic. But in intuitive channeling, you talk to the channeler. They take your message, reconnect with the soul, relay it back to you. But in voice channeling, the soul actually comes into Sam's body and essentially takes over her body, including her vocal cords. So in the interviews, Sam doesn't even recall the content at all. She can feel certain energies, but it turns out with this technique, with this gift that Sam has, Carolyn could do direct conversations with the souls, interactive conversations. And, you know, it was really fascinating to do this. So how did it come about? So Carolyn knew Sam from a while back, and Sam is not a professional challenger or a channeler, doesn't do this for a business, but she knew she had skills from childhood in terms of animal communications. She just felt that. So Carolyn, we had some trouble with some pets in the household, and Carolyn found Sam. Sam helped us with that informally, not a business, as I mentioned. And then they became good friends. Later, Sam started receiving what she felt were very high vibrational messages directly intended for Carolyn. This was coming to Sam. So Sam contacted Carolyn, and they set up a session, and we're an hour away from Sam, so everything is done Zoom or phone. And they contacted the soul that was sending these high vibration messages. Turned out this soul, who we'll call Baba, is someone that Carolyn had many lifetimes with. Baba is an ascended master. He is part of this thing that we call the council. While we can't say exactly what's on there, we've pieced it together. It is ascended masters such as St. Francis of Assisi and others. And so they started this dialogue. And Carolyn thought, wow, you know, this is great for me, but what about Sam? She has people she cares about too. Since she doesn't recall these conversations, maybe I can talk to someone on behalf of Sam. So they picked David Bowie, who Sam had a real affinity for. And they, so Carolyn, through Sam, had a couple conversations with David Bowie, who has this tremendous English wit and sense of humor. And it was just, it was really something. Then Carolyn would then tell Sam all about this after the fact, because Sam doesn't recall that. Then Carolyn thought, wow, if we can channel souls in this conversational way, maybe I can talk to a variety on many topics. I mean, when we look around, we have a divided country, we have wars going on, climate is part of this, we have many problems. And if I can contact the right souls, maybe I can get messages of hope from them about what may happen in the future, and I can help people. And so Carolyn then, of course, wanted to discuss this with Baba. And so when they had a conversation through Sam with Baba, Baba said, well, because this was Carolyn's inspiration, Baba said, well, by the way, that wasn't your idea. That was the council's idea. And we have chosen you to be the vehicle that will communicate these messages. And what we see on the council side is the biggest struggle right now is the struggle Mother Earth is having. And we would like you to focus on helping Mother Earth, which is all about the environment and what's going on there. And that is how the book started.
Wow, that's fascinating. I want to pull out a couple of points there. So voice channeling, and just to reiterate for the listening audience, is where the person, I'll say, being interviewed comes in and utilizes Sam's voice. So Sam sort of backs up in her consciousness somehow, and then that comes through. I also want to tell people that on your web page, what's it called, Channeled Messages of Hope, you have some voice bites where people can actually listen to the different voices coming through Sam, and I found it fascinating. You had very different sounding voices, very different inflections, accents, all kinds of stuff.
That was the blowaway part too.
And yeah.
By the way, when a soul, when we were going to interview a soul, Carolyn would do intense research so that we could have a framework of the questions. But we would not tell. Sam wasn't part of that. Sam would be informed maybe the day before, such as we want to bring in Nikola Tesla. Many times Sam knew nothing about these. Sam lives out here in California with us, and she doesn't know about many of these souls. So we would give her a picture, tell her who it was, and then the next day we would, we would stop. We would actually set up a Zoom meeting. That's how we recorded this, and we're able to put it on our channelmessagesofhope.com website. And Sam would kind of clear her chakras. She would back up, and we would do an invocation and invite the soul in. And at that point, Sam was pretty much, she wasn't unconscious or anything. She could feel energies, but she couldn't listen to the dialogue that Carolyn was having with the soul.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. I've talked to other people who are voice channelers, and everyone shares the same thing, that they don't know, they can't tell you what happened, right?
Right.
They're sort of in the green room or something.
when the soul came in, and all of a sudden we're talking to John Muir, this was early on, and you get this Scottish accent coming out of Sam, which is, what? Where did that come from? And then, Tesla with his kind of Eastern European. It really was fascinating, I have to say.
That's really fascinating. So you have, I actually have a list here. I think I took it off your webpage. You have all kinds of different people that were channeled for this book. Once again, I just want to remind people, the book is called Channeled Messages of Hope. And I am already going to give the phone number for the radio station out. Later on, we're going to take some questions for John Thomas. If you want to call in and ask him some questions, and as you listen, you might go, well, what would I ask a question about? You can ask him about maybe the messages from the book or whatever. We're going to cover some of that. But I'll give the phone number out, let people know the lines are going to be open. And you can call in to 1-888-298-KKNW, which is also 5569. It's 1-888-298-5569 or 425-373-5527. You can call in if you want to ask John Thomas a question about channeled messages of hope. Now, John, I'm looking at this list, and just for the listening audience, you have political leaders, technologists, conservationists, preservationists, spiritual leaders, and authors. You have people like George Bush, Richard Nixon, Teddy Roosevelt, Albert Einstein, Nikola Tesla, Jacques Cousteau, John Muir, right? Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, Wayne Dyer. You have all these people. How did you choose who you were going to be communicating with?
Well, first of all, the intent of the book is for people that are looking at the environment, may feel despair about what's going on and where is this all going and what can I do? And they need messages of hope. They need to know there's some, light at the end of the tunnel here. But Carolyn came up with the initial list. And when you look at our list, as you mentioned, policymakers all the way over to spiritual leaders, we wanted to get a broad perspective of around the topic. And I'm glad we did. But so the original names Carolyn came up with. But then as we started interviewing the souls directed us to others. Like, for example, when we talked to Nikola Tesla, prolific inventor, he said, I'd like you to talk. We always, at the end of the interview, we would ask, who else should we talk to? He said, I'd like you to talk to Samuel Clemens. And we're like, Samuel Clemens? That's Mark Twain. Why do you want, we didn't get it at all. But then when we did the research, we found out that Samuel Clemens and Tesla were very close. In fact, Clemens, being the author he was also a prolific technology investor, and he got very close to Tesla. And Clemens has a particular perspective on this. So we were led in directions we wouldn't necessarily have figured out on our own, and that's how the list kind of grew and evolved.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. What was, I don't even know how to ask this question. What was a an interview or a person that stood out? And I also want to clarify for the listeners that you're not the channeler, but you are, your role with this was more technological.
Well, in my case, you know, Carolyn was the principal author, interviewer. Okay. She did the research. I helped her with those interviews and some of the writing. So we think of us as the interviewer. Sam is in the middle. Sam is the conduit. Sam is the phone line, essentially, to get us to access the soul. And again, Sam's in the middle with no recollection of what happened afterwards or any of that. But through voice channeling, the ability to have a conversation, to have it be interactive, give and take, back and forth, with humor, with their personalities involved, we got all of it. As you mentioned, on the website are certain audio excerpts from certain interviews I think the listeners may find interesting.
I'm actually very interested in what you just said. So you would come up with whatever, right? You know, who it was. Carolyn would do a lot of research coming up with whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Sam would get the information of who was going to come through, and you were in on every interview? It's a question. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. All right. And did you have to, because you asked questions about climate change and environmental things, and I do agree with you. I think it's one of the things that's really up front with people. And I'm going to ask an obvious question because I know that the listeners are, you know, we have listeners from all over the place. Mm-hmm. You're not a political platform. You're right. Yeah.
This is not a political book at all, even though we have, you know, souls that were in political roles in their lifetime. We are not political, no parties. Even though Richard Nixon is in this book, there's specific reasons. We are not Nixon apologists. All of us remember that are in of a certain age, as we say, we remember Richard Nixon's legacy. But we found out there's a lot more to it. And we kind of cover all the way over to the spiritual leaders. We were looking for broad-based perspective on the topic of global warming and climate change. But along the way, we learned a lot about what the transition is like, what's happening on the other side, how the souls on the other side work with humans. So we look at this book actually as a hybrid in terms of spiritual topics and the particular where we wanted messages of hope around the, you know, where our earth is going. So it's really a lot of the spiritual topics and how all that, at least what we found, how that works, I think is of as much interest as messages of hope around the topic of
yeah, I actually am with you on that one. Since you brought up Richard Nixon, can you talk about Richard Nixon for just a little bit? And we can use a couple of people as examples. Yeah.
Yeah, so Nixon, why Nixon? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
So as mentioned, you know, Carolyn did a lot of research on climate change and who was involved in everything. As mentioned, we're not climate scientists here, but we had to do – the council wanted this topic, so we had to do a lot of work. Carolyn did a lot of work. It turns out that Richard Nixon in his time – we're going back to, you know, the 70s – was well ahead of the game on environmental. He was the guy responsible for the EPA. And Carolyn read his State of the Union in 1970, his State of the Union address. It was, I mean, he was talking about reparations to Mother Earth for the damage that we have done, money that we need to earmark for clean water, things like that. He was well ahead of the game on environment. And that's why we wanted to talk to him. Had nothing to do with Watergate, okay? But but we also
and then I know I can hear people going, what were they doing to him on the other side? What was he going through over there?
I'll tell you
right?
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Here's what we learned. First of all, one of the things we learned, we are on this earth, in this body, in this lifetime to grow and have our human experience and hopefully to make progress in our life. And when we transition and go to the other side, there is a review process of our life. And this is our chance to learn and reflect, and maybe you might come back in another lifetime to work on these things. Well, Stephen Schneider told us, you know, Nixon, he's in deep seclusion. I don't think you're going to get it. Okay. Huh. So when we went to have the channeling session, the interview, and you know, Carolyn did the invocation to bring in Nixon, we didn't know if he was going to show up. In fact, Baba in a conversation Carolyn had with the Ascended Master, said, I don't know about Nixon, because what happened is when he transitioned, he went into a very deep review process where he had to understand and acknowledge. He told us this, Nixon told us this, that in his lifetime here, he was extremely arrogant. He thought he had a lot more power than he did. He did not treat people well around him. And so he's up there learning and reflecting on this, and he's hoping that there is forgiveness on this, another big topic. And, you know, when he came in, it took a little while. It probably took 30, 45 seconds. And when he finally arrived, he seemed a little confused. And he told us, why do you want to talk to me?
Yeah.
And so Carolyn was really intimidated at this point. She was maybe slightly terrified, but she explained, we want to talk to you about the environment. We see what you did around the environment. He started to warm up at that point. And we even, you know, we don't know, but as mentioned, we're not Nixon apologists here. When people are trying and when they do good things, we feel good things need to be acknowledged. And we feel that maybe in the healing process for him, knowing that, you know, here are these people, you know, in a body on earth, look back, and we do appreciate those aspects of what he did when he was here. So that's the Nixon story right there.
I actually love that, because I'm kind of thinking to myself, okay, so when people are in a body, like you and I are in a body right now, I think, right?
Yes,
and we're going through our life, and we do have, like you said, we're here to learn and grow and all kinds of things. Like even Wayne Dyer was saying some things in the channeled messages that I think are great, and John Muir. I mean, there's some really good messages in this book. But when we go to the other side, there is something that goes on there. And for him to be in, as you said, isolation or going through whatever he's going through in preparation for whatever comes next. I want to ask this question. Did any of the people that you interviewed, I guess I'll say people, the dearly departed, talk about their next life?
Well, okay, here's an example. Rachel Carson, who was well known for identifying the damage pesticides would do. She wrote a famous book that she took a lot of heat for at the time from industry, from corporations. But she died of cancer. It really ravaged her at the end. And she told us that in her next life, she's going to come back in a medical capacity to fight cancer. She's already pre-planning that. You know, different souls have different ideas of what they want to do in their next life. But here's the really interesting part. And we found this when we were talking with John Muir, and we did not realize this, but we're talking to the soul about the particular lifetime of our interest. But in our communication, we're really communicating with their higher self. And as we're communicating with John Muir about that lifetime, the higher self said, you know, through John Muir's voice and his words, that he's currently in a body right now in Canada, in Alberta, kind of an adolescent, you know, kid that loves to snowboard. This was the thing that got me. He said, in Alberta, near a beautiful place called Pato Lake. I mean, we never heard of any of this. We have no idea. So what do? Of course, we go to Google Maps first thing. There's Pato Lake. Looked, you know, and we looked at some, you know, photos online. It looks like what he described. And as we know, John Muir, you know, it was his passion was nature. His passion was the Sierras and all of that kind of thing. So we got a couple stories just like that one. We can, you know, I'll go with you on this interview here and see what comes up. But that part of it, when we realized that, we could piece together the whole higher self, the lifetimes. And by the way, you know, I know that, you know, we can say reincarnation kind of a hot topic in a sense. People believe or not believe. We're not here to convince anyone of anything. These are our findings. Maleva Einstein, when she was married to Albert Einstein, they had a son, Edward, who had schizophrenia. And this was really her life became consumed taking care of, you know, her son. And she right now in a body is a psychotherapist. She said, let's call him David in India. And so this lifetime is all about helping people with mental challenges, for example. That's the kind of things. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, is in this book, that the souls were very forthright with us, telling us about things like that, you know, the challenges they have and where there was a lifetime involved. Not all of them, but, you know, some of them.
Yeah, I very much got the sense reading the book that I love everything you said, because it can get complicated when we're talking about the soul on the other side, you know, because we're so 3D. But the ego is not there. And I also, we're going to take a break in just a minute. We'll come back. But also the idea that there was some humor and there was some genuine, like you say, transparency. Like the souls were being very open with you, very honest with you, and just telling you some things. Even Nikola Tesla, and this is a cliffhanger, and we'll come back to answer the question, what happened to his papers? Where are they? And what about the U.S. government? No, don't go there. Anyway, we're going to take a little break. Yeah, John, do you want to say something quick before we go to a break?
The last thing I'll say, you mentioned ego. One thing we noticed talking to all those souls, I could not detect an iota of ego. Talking to them, just absent. It was really something. Refreshing,
It's refreshing and very fascinating, because whatever the trappings are of the 3D world, they're not there. Yeah. So anyway, this is Loretta Brown. My guest today, John Thomas, who is, could I say you're a co-author or one of three people that wrote a book?
I'm a co-author. Carolyn's the principal author, and I'm a contributor.
Yeah, Carolyn Thomas is the principal author. This is her man, John Thomas, and Sam Larkin was the channeler for Channeled Messages of Hope. We do have the lines open. You can call in and ask John a question if you're interested, and you can ask him about the messages of hope. You can ask him probably anything you want to know about that, and we'll be asking him questions too. The number here is 1-888-298-5569 or 425-373-5527. This is Loretta Brown. Don't go away, because when we get back, we'll tell you what about Nikola Tesla's papers. We'll be right back.
Do you make a positive difference in the world? Do you have a talent, philosophy, base of knowledge, product or service that you know could help a lot of people if only you could reach them? Join Alternative Talk 1150's family of broadcasters and start walking down a fruitful path. As host of your very own program, dial 425-653-1150 and find out just how affordable it can be to have a show on 1150 AM. That's 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
Energy is powerful. It's all around us, mysterious, full of potential. Directing positive healing energy to raise your vibrational rate through Reiki can change your life. Reiki Master Loretta Brown has relieved stress, sadness, anger, and even helped clients lose weight, stop smoking, and end sleep disorders. Worldwide, people have sought out Reiki Oasis. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
Make us part of your daily routine. Alternative Talk, 1150.
This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Welcome back. Thank you, Betty. The music is always perfect. Welcome back to the original Loretta Brown Show with my guest, John Thomas, who is one of the three, I'll say, collaborators on the book Channeled Messages of Hope, Conversation with History's Most Prominent Souls on the Other Side on Global Warming and Climate Change. A reminder that this show is archived on the KKNW 1150 AM archives for the original Loretta Brown Show. You can download it for free, and we're on iTunes, Podcast One, X, Megaphone, Audible, YouTube, Spotify. I know I've left something out. Obviously, you can find us all over the place and download this show for free and listen to it anytime you want. And I'll mention one more time that we do have the lines open. You can call in and ask John Thomas a message or a question, and maybe even about global warming, environmental, or messages of hope, or what he found out when they did their interviews on the other side. 1-888-298-5569 or 425-373-5527. And John, we left a cliffhanger. So could you talk to us about Nikola Tesla?
Tesla. So we wanted to talk to Tesla because he was a prolific inventor and ask him his opinion on the various technologies that are being worked on now. And Tesla did have opinions about geothermal and other things, but let me just say what he said about global warming, then I'll get to the cliffhanger. He is working with Albert Einstein on the other side to influence scientists and technologists on Earth today. And that influence is done through kind of aha moments, or they show them things in the dream state. There's an influence that they do. But a big technology, the one that's going to be extremely important for clean energy, is around nuclear. Today, a nuclear reactor is what's called nuclear fission. And fission creates radioactive waste. People are scared of this by and large. You know, the Japan situation and Chernobyl and all that stuff. But nuclear fusion is the next technology that's completely clean. No radioactive waste whatsoever. And it's being worked on in a development state now. And the Soles gave us a feeling that in probably a 25-year time frame, this will be, you know, at scale and helping us out. That's a message of hope. But when Tesla was here on Earth as a prolific inventor, he worked, I mean, every day, 16 hours. And that's serious. People say, oh, I work 16 hours a day. He really did. And he would document all his inventions. He filled many trunks with his writings, the Tesla papers. One of his most key inventions was the ability to wirelessly transmit energy. Okay. And you can imagine that would be a game changer, you know, in terms of our environment. It would be a great thing. The problem is that same technology can be used in the wrong hands for weapons of war. Imagine if you could take out, you know, a ship in the ocean by, you know, focusing energy wirelessly to it. So when he died, and we asked him specifically about this, when he died, the U.S. government came in very quickly to gather up all his papers. And in fact, the U.S. government, kind of in coordination with the Serbian government, has buried those papers deep because they don't want that technology to get into the wrong hands. And Tesla actually said this was probably a good thing, because in the world and the way we have it now, you can imagine, you know, nefarious governments that get this could do some things that would be very bad. So the Tesla papers were seized by the government. They were put in deep lockdown, and that is the reason why.
Yeah, that's interesting to have him talk about that from the other side. Very fascinating. Did he have anything to say about, you're saying fission?
Fission, yes, is how it's done today, generates waste. Fusion is how it will be done later, zero waste, completely clean.
Did you ask him anything about, you know, free energy, you know, and that kind of a thing? You know, people talk about the Tesla coil, or they talk about the idea that energy is available to us all around. Was that anything that you covered with him or any of the interviewees?
That particular topic, we did not. Okay. We wanted to cover things that actually had a horizon of applicability in society. He had many inventions. You know, some were probably doable. Some would take many years of development. And, you know, we focused with him on what is actually coming that we can attach a message of hope to, and we know, you know, good things are happening there. And as mentioned, he's working with Albert Einstein on that one on the other side to help us here on Earth.
So Albert Einstein, so can you give us some messages from Albert Einstein or his first wife, Leva?
Well, you know, first of all, Albert Einstein, you know, he is kind of the, you can say, he's the father of nuclear. He, you know, he agreed with our assessment of the environment, and what, you know, there's a push right now called the Paris Agreement to try to limit global warming to less than 1.5 degrees C by 2050. And he says, you know, nuclear fusion is going to really be paramount to making that happen. And he, you know, several Soles mentioned a 25-year time frame to where that's implemented. He did as well. And, you know, he's optimistic. He sees mankind moving in the right direction. But, you know, his he's well known for his theory of relativity, E equals MC squared, kind of the definition of energy. And when we asked him, who else should we talk to? He said, Mileva Einstein. Oh, okay. So, you know, we didn't know anything about Mileva, his first wife. But when we talked to Mileva, the reason Albert wanted us to talk to her is because she was actually very instrumental in all of his research. She was probably an equal partner, a peer, technically, with him as he's coming up with these theories and, you know, his learnings. But in that day, if a woman's name was attached to something like that, it would it would lose credibility. It just wasn't accepted. And so she was left off. So she was minimized and in the background when, in fact, she was a primary contributor. And, you know, they were married, but then they divorced. And part of Albert's lesson on the other side is, you know, he didn't really maybe was as responsible in that marriage. Let me just put it that way, as he would like. And so we asked Mileva, what is your relationship like, you know, with Albert? And she said, it's a very close relationship, not a romantic relationship, but the forgiveness between the two of them was the key to making that happen. And that came through in both of their conversations. So, you know, that was from a spiritual side point of view, I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I'm hearing that theme of forgiveness there.
Yes.
Yeah, on the other side. Yeah, these souls are going through things, aren't they? Interesting. What about, I wanted to ask you this also, what would you say to people, because I know you're getting interviewed, and I know people do call and ask questions. What is your response to, I'm going to say climate naysayers, people that say climate change is a hoax or something, you know?
Yeah. Climate deniers, naysayers, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So here's what I've really learned about this, okay? Climate deniers will say, well, it's just weather, you know? Our Earth goes through a cycle, 100,000-year cycle, where it goes from elements of ice house condition to elements of greenhouse condition. And Earth has a way of staying in balance because this is a very slow-moving process. But what's happened here on Earth, this really came through in the Charles Keeling interview, is in a very short period of time, considering 100,000 years, we'll call it the Industrial Age, since late 1800s into the 1900s, with the incredible amount of increased burning of fossil fuels, we have pumped so much greenhouse gas into the atmosphere. And by the way, the atmosphere needs a certain level of greenhouse gas. The greenhouse gas allows us to keep heat trapped. If we had no greenhouse gases, we'd be in the ice age, so we need some. But when we're out of balance, what happens is the natural balance of Earth is generate heat during the day, and then that heat is released at night. The oceans take the primary amount. But since we've pumped so much greenhouse gas in, we're trapping a lot more heat, and we're not able to release that heat. And it's manifesting in weather patterns that we're seeing extremes, the hurricanes, drought in one area, incredible floods in another area. We're seeing it all over the world, and the ice caps are melting. So, you know, the ocean's temperature is rising, which is where a lot of that heat, you know, is absorbed. So my net to the climate deniers is that there is a weather pattern, I will admit that, over a 100,000-year cycle. But what we've done in this incredibly small sliver is thrown the Earth so far out of balance that the Earth can't you know, correct and recapture. It's skewing just rapidly. And if you look at Charles Keeling, was the first guy that kind of figured out that the increase of greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide specifically, you can chart it. And you can chart it in the 100,000-year cycle by looking at trap bubbles in the ice cap and things like that. But if you look at the Keeling curve, you'll see that the Earth's temperature, there's, you know, a quantifiable increase. The concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere shows a spike from 1900 that takes us from, you know, 250 ppm for centuries, and then, you know, we're up near 400 now in a very short period of time. So what the climate deniers need to know is we've placed a burden on our Mother Earth that she just can't handle because of this. And so, and that is man-made. There's zero doubt about it that that is man-made. And so all the efforts to reduce greenhouse, to try to reduce that temperature rise, are all about giving our Earth, who wants to give us a nice environment, by the way, Earth has a soul too.
Yeah.
Earth is not happy with the way, you know, she's being treated. She's struggling. That's why the council wanted us to focus on this topic. And, you know, man is, and there's many things happening, which is a message of hope, but we need to move to a condition to give the Earth a chance to regain the balance, to provide us the nice environment that she wants to give us, the environment that we live in today. So that's my response to the climate deniers. We've put our Earth in an out of balance condition, and not, you know, we are not giving her the chance to course correct as she would normally do given more time.
Yeah. I am listening to that, because I've talked to a lot of people, and I'm kind of the mind that and I agree, the Earth is cyclic. She goes through her stuff, and I kind of look at it, like I always bring it down to the personal, like I have good days and bad days, John. I hate to say this. Sometimes I'm on top of the world, and sometimes I'm not. And when I'm not on top of the world, I actually don't need people to kick me around. I could actually use just a little helping hand. So maybe our great Mother Earth is like that too. And she's like, look, I'm a little moody right now, but I really could use some help. And I'm just going to say this. I've gone scuba diving in Indonesia. I've seen the plastic islands. I've seen the garbage. I've gone hiking in the Himalayan mountains. I've gone hiking to the mouth of the Ganges River and Mount Kailash, and I've seen the snow melted way back. And when you see that, it's like, I'm going to say this, at some level, I don't really care if it's a hoax or it's a real thing. I'm looking at something that I can connect with and I can help with. So did any of the people that were channeled, do any of them have a message of what we can do to help?
They do. And you can get very tactical things from the policymakers about, you know, make tax incentives, get China on board. But I flip it all the way over to the spiritual leaders. And St. Francis, this is back to what we collectively as a race, but individually as people can do. And the first thing is to recognize that we are all one. Mother Earth has a soul. The plants, nature, animals, man, all of us are connected. I think that man, you know, one thing that Mother Earth is reacting badly to is man is not treating man well. And that is coming back through in the way that, you know, we're treating Mother Earth. But if we had a collective, you know, I'm an idealist to a degree. I'm not saying that we snap our fingers and this happens. But if everyone on this earth could all of a sudden realize we're all one, we're all connected, what Mother Earth does and what the oceans do affects man. What man does affects Mother Earth, but it's collectively, it's our environment. It's, you know, the thing that binds us all together. And St. Francis really made the point that we're all one. We need to revere nature, Mother Earth, each other. As John Muir said, if we treated our environment like a church with that level of respect, you know, that's the kind of mindset that we have to have. And, you know, Gandhi would say, we need to live a simpler life. We need to have more reflection. And, you know, there's evidence that if we live a simpler life and we slow down, that the Mother Earth can react quickly. Look what happened in the pandemic. Look at the air over Beijing. And I've traveled in mainland China. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a pretty picture. That air cleaned up when the cars came off the road. Now, I'm not saying it's practical to stop driving. We can't do that, but we can do things a lot more responsibly. And I mean, you know, Loretta, what if in my idealistic thinking, for a month, everybody on this earth said, I will not litter. And if I see a piece of litter, I'll simply pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine the impact that would happen? So as people, if we have a different mindset and we thank Mother Earth, that's actually a big part of it. You know, we can write our politicians, you know, only take what we need. Don't live and don't over consume. We kind of tend to do that in this day and age. The things individually we can do are just simple things like that. The message of hope is that our younger generation really gets it. I mean, this is their environment that they're inheriting, I guess from people like me, I'm kind of more on the other end. So there's many technologies being worked on. I can even see it in my, you mentioned I run a startup, so I'm kind of tuned into the what happens in the funding level of venture, and there's more and more and more venture funding that will only go into sustainable technologies. I see the shift, and I'm glad to see the shift. But here's one thing to think about. A lot of times people think, what kind of world am I leaving for my children? Okay, and that's legit, and we need to be thinking that. But I think of it, I think of that, but I also think of what kind of world, if I come back in a body, and now that I understand that we're on this earth for learning lessons and things, and I kind of know my life lessons, I know where my mistakes were and what my cost was for those, I'm pretty sure that I'll be coming back in a body to work on these things. What am I going to come back to? Now I'm really thinking about that. I don't want to come back into, this holocaust of global warming. I'd like to come back into a nice environment and live. I'm very fortunate to live, a nice life with Carolyn here and get to work on things like channel messages of hope. But it's a whole different concept to think of, what am I leaving for myself?
There's that. That's a great comment. I was thinking when you were talking that, we always had these things when I grew up, like pack it in, pack it out. If you're camping, and a clean camp is a happy camp, and, we got to clean up our own mess box. Kind of how that goes. There's so many people. I'm just like, we only have 3 minutes left or something. We're 2.5 minutes. In that time, what would you like to share? I was thinking about Wayne Dyer, and I was also thinking about messages of hope. So What message would you really like to share with everybody right now?
The message I'd like to share is, look, if you're a spiritually open, spiritually curious person that cares about your environment and is worried about it, this is the book for you. And we explore many different topics outside the environment, the transition, how they work, how the souls work with people, here on Earth, this concept of the council. So I think that there will be interest, from that point of view. But around the environment, the real message of hope is, we don't want to have to scare people and do it that way. We want to give them a vision that things are happening. And as I believe it was Theodore Roosevelt said, it really starts with parents educating your children. You clearly, Loretta, got the education. The clean camp is the happy camp. This is absolutely true. This is about taking care of our earth. The top level message that I would like to leave people with is, we are all one, as mentioned. We're all connected. And if we can revere Mother Earth, Wayne Dyer, even on the other side with the souls, was teaching them visualizations to help, show Mother Earth that, we love and appreciate, what she's doing, and know that there's, it's a tough time right now with what man has caused. But the good news is that there's many things being worked on here. And luckily, the younger generation is really getting it, and we need to help them. And the souls on the other side are doing their part to help through nudging, through inspirations. The souls can't mandate a certain thing to happen. We do have free will. We do have free will here, but the souls are here, and you can ask these souls for help. St. Francis is a guide for me. Wayne Dyer is a guide for me. And these souls that you revere and respect are available to be guides if in your meditation you ask them. If there's a vibrational match, they will be a guide. I probably have many, many guides I don't even know about. But I wanted to leave with that.
thank you. I love that. So the book is Channeled Messages of Hope, right? And by Carolyn Thomas with John Thomas and Sam Larkin. Just get it right now. And what is your website? And we're down to the last 5 seconds, John.
www.channeledmessagesofhope.com. Hear audio, read about the book. It's all there.
Thank you. John Thomas, thank you so much for being on my show. Benny Mathers, you are the best. And to everybody, oh my goodness, happy Mother's Day. And get in the sunshine, hug a tree, do something lovely. Lots of love to everybody. Thank you so much.